Welcome back to Blueprint for Wealth. And with me today is my special guest, Sarah Cato. Welcome, Sarah.
Hello, Wayne. Thank you very much for inviting me here.
You're welcome. Thanks for being on the show. Sarah is a certified financial planner, and she's also a registered representative and financial advisor of Park Avenue Securities. But she is with the firm of, and she's director of the Business Strategies Group at First Financial Group, which she is based in Bethesda with this group.
Correct.
And she served as a professional and consultant in the medical and business fields since 1987 and is qualified to help professionals bridge the gap between business success and personal financial wealth creation. So not only is she a CFP, she's also a chartered financial consultant and a chartered life underwriter. All of these designations require that you sit for exams and study for them. So what are the differences between a CFP, a CFC, and a CLU?
Well, a CFP is a certified financial planner, and as such, we're trained to be, and to use a kind of trite word, we're trained to be a holistic planner with our clients.
Okay.
And a chartered financial consultant is very similar with a few more educational pieces behind it.
Ah.
And a CLU, chartered life underwriter, is very similar with a few more life insurance classes behind it.
So you bring a whole lot of experience, plus all of your licensing that you're required to have to do all the things that you do.
Right. Unlike Bernie Madoff, we have to maintain our licenses. Yeah.
So you've worked in and with privately held businesses for over 20 years. You've also been an owner and CEO of a business. Tell us a little bit about that.
That's right. Ever since I got out of graduate school, fortunately or unfortunately, mostly fortunately, I've been the owner, president and owner of four companies before I became a financial advisor. So that happened within 3 months after graduate school.
Gee whiz. What was one of the companies? Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Well, the very first company that I was president and CEO of, I had no ownership interest in, was the largest rehabilitation agency in the Washington, D.C. area. And as such, we had contracts with the federal government and with the state governments of Maryland, D.C., and Virginia for the provision of physical occupational and speech therapy.
So you've got an experience in the medical sciences, physical sciences, and then all of the therapeutic sciences that come from that.
Correct. My undergraduate degree is in radiological science and physics.
Wow.
And so I stepped out of that.
A girl in physics? My wife tried to be a physics major, and she walked into her first class, and there were 300 people in the class, and she was one of two women. So she left. But that's,
I have stories similar to
exactly.
that. Yeah.
So in the past 10 years, though, you've been a financial advisor and a strategist for business owners. And I think it's good that you've had that business experience. What would you perceive to be the greatest financial threat that you see owners facing today as a financial strategist advising all of these business owners?
Well, speaking from the perspective of a financial advisor, it's certainly lack of planning.
Mm-hmm.
And when I get to work with business owners, they're pretty successful. They're down the road. They're generally beyond startup. And so they have a financial business plan that has worked for them. And they have financial components of that plan, but they don't have a well-conceived financial plan that integrates their business with their personal plan.
Ah.
So that's where the holes begin to creep in.
So where you come in is to help them integrate that plan.
Exactly.
The business plan with and help them create a personal plan, because a lot of these people have just spent their whole lives focusing so intently on the business and not on their personal side, but now they want to get out and do something personal.
That's right. Well, you and I both see people working morning, noon, and night on and in their business, but not on the business independence, which is what I help create.
So would this include exit planning?
Absolutely.
And what would that entail? It's not just selling your business, is it?
No, exit planning can be and should be planned from the startup day, because an event can propel us into an exit need from day one of our business.
I couldn't agree with you more. You have to be planning for the... Not only your business plan should not just be how you're going to grow your business, right? It's how you're going to
exit,
transition the business, whether it's you exiting the business to some and transferring it to somebody else or just selling it.
That's right. And, you know, if you consider investment capital advisors, et cetera, they never, or venture capitalists, they'll never go into a venture without an exit plan. And the same should be with small privately held business owners.
Now, the privately held business owner, he always looks, or she always looks at the business as sort of his or her retirement. Doesn't they?
Almost always, the business is the cornerstone of a business owner's financial retirement plan, for sure.
So if it really is the cornerstone of their financial plan and they're the key influencer to develop the income that supports them in retirement, how are they ever going to stop working?
They stop working by having a well-designed plan. As early as possible is better, obviously. We want to take that equity that is growing from day one and be able to turn that into cash upon a moment's need. And that is often, frankly, Wayne, that's very difficult if we're making a plan a year or 2 years before the magical retirement date.
Yeah, unless it's something that they can, if it's a business that they can sell and they can bring in an investment banker, that's one thing.
That's one thing.
But I think a significant minority of businesses are able to be transitioned that way.
Exactly. For small privately held businesses, the statistics are fewer than 35% of those businesses ever transfer to the next generation.
That's a really small percentage.
It's a very small percentage, and it's for many reasons, but you can all boil down those reasons to lack of planning.
Lack of planning, and then the owner is so much in control of everything and wants to do things his or her own way that you don't bring in the next generation to teach them how you did it successfully, but also empower them and let them take over.
Exactly right. One of my recent clients owns a $61 million business, and a great business, but case in point. And all of us as business owners have that problem with learning to delegate. It becomes a particular problem as you near retirement.
You know, our clients at Odin Feldman and Pittleman, and I know yours, Sarah, have often been in their businesses for many, many years. They've already got their own companies, their own, you know, other business entities. They've got good corporate legal documents. They have their team of trusted advisors. Are you finding that these folks are all set with their retirement and exit plans, or what is your experience?
I find that in almost all circumstances that those folks are not all set. They may think they're all set, and they indeed do have the best advisors. You and I have talked about this before. Oftentimes, the advisor team has never been coordinated to work on behalf of the business owner. And so we have great legal documents. They're often unfunded. They're not coordinated with the estate planning attorney. We have no real way of getting that person out until we come in, do additional groundwork, and get the coordination in place. The business owner who works day-to-day in their business oftentimes doesn't even realize that.
Mm-hmm. So how do you help in coordinating all these different folks? I mean, we've got lawyers, we've got tax advisors, some of them may be one and the same. We've got CPAs, we've got financial advisors. How do you help with this?
As a financial advisor, I think that I may be the only, the only person on the team that has access to all the pieces of an owner's financial world. That's on the personal side and the business. It's all their income, all their investments, their dreams and wishes for estate planning and legacy. And I provide a coordination role of pulling that together, helping the owner, their families to coordinate and be able to communicate their goals. Possibly they have never done that. And then once we get that groundwork laid, then we can go bring in the advisory team with the attorneys, the accountants, state planning attorneys, et cetera, to now finalize the plan and get the person in the optimal position.
So it's combining financial and estate planning, because estate planning really is dealing with not only matters that pertain to you while you're living, but it also very much focuses on matters that occur once you become disabled or, you know, after you're gone. There's so much living to do. And, you know, the business owner needs somebody to help guide them through the process of living to the end and, of course, establishing their legacy. And I think that's one of the valuable functions that you serve as a quarterback or just as a component of the team that needs to advise these folks to transition their businesses?
Well, I really like what you just said, living to the end. And many times folks really haven't thought through to the end. They have a feeling, but they haven't communicated that.
Mm-hmm.
And I have two business owners right now whose dream it was to leave their business to their children upon their death.
Okay.
And so what we need to do to help that business owner is get them to have a lifelong income from their business or stemming from their business that they can live with peace of mind that money is not going to run out, and then be in a position to give it to their children upon their death and in the manner and at the time of their choosing. And we can help with that if we can help tease that goal from the client.
It's tough because the kids, they're not always equal if they're two kids, and they're not always equally interested in the business or capable of running the business the way the parents did. I watch so many TV shows about, you know, Restaurant Impossible and other types of businesses where you've got these family-owned businesses that are being run into the ground by the kids because they don't have the charisma or the knowledge or the ability that the parents have. And that's partially the parents' fault. The parents have sort of asserted their control from the very beginning and not let the kids do what they're supposed to do or educated them in a proper fashion. So do you help the business owners achieve their own financial independence by, you know, grooming the next generation?
Absolutely. That's one of the key aspects of moving someone through the process. You know, for a business owner, retirement is a process. It's not an event like we might have if we're a W-2 employee.
Right.
So we, one of the key things and most important things we do is to help groom the next generation. If it's a family-owned business, it might be someone from the family, or we may have to look outside, or we may have to look to the key employees if none of the children are interested or capable. Or we may have one child who's very capable, interested working in the business. And then a question for the parents is to give an equal and fair treatment to the other children. That's called estate equalization. So we help with that and help raise the concerns and help the business owner and their parent families understand that there's a solution to that.
Now, we were talking, I think, before we went on air about the concept of business owner financial independence. What do you mean by this, and why is it important? What are some of the elements of business owner financial independence?
It really is everything that you and I and the accountants and the other team members do. So basically, we can boil that down to legal independence.
Okay.
When a business owner goes into business, they're likely, in today's time, create some wrapper around them that's going to insulate their personal assets from their business.
Okay.
Be it a corporation, an LLC, et cetera. That's the beginning step. We want to help them put risk management tools in place in their business to isolate loss from unexpected life events, such as disability, death, falling out of love with one's partner, et cetera, to the extent that we can do that. We want to help create a sustainable stream of income from that business through the accumulation years of that family. And that stream of income ideally is going to be thought of in terms of tax treatment as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we can extract income on an annual basis in various ways. Some are more tax efficient than others, and we look at that.
Right.
And certainly being able to, at any point in time, take the equity that has been generated up to that point and turn it into cash in the most efficient way if the need arises, and upon the ideal kind of mythical moment when one retires.
So with 1 minute remaining today, what does one do to get started with this level of planning?
When I work with my clients, the first thing I do is just sit down and have a heart-to-heart talk with them, find out from their perspective where they are in the life cycle of their business and their personal planning. We generate goals from that.
Mm-hmm.
If they decide my work with them will be beneficial, I'll ask for all their corporate and legal documents, and I'll do what I call an operational review.
Okay.
Come back to the table with them, help identify discrepancies in their goals, ways that we can fix the discrepancies and work with the other team advisory members to resolve the issues.
To get in touch with Sarah, and we're talking with Sarah Cato, you can dial her up by email at Sarah, S-A-R-A-H dot Cato at ffgdc.com, or give her a call at her office at 240-235-1341. Thanks for being a special guest on Blueprint for Wealth.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you very much for having me here today.
Thanks for listening, and tune in next week for another special topic and special guest. Have a great week.